go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Dr. Colonel Lawrence Sellin. He is a retired U.S. Army colonel of the reserves. We've spoken with him in the past about a number of aspects of his extraordinary career and their relevance to today, including his service in the South Asian and Central Asian environment, notably Afghanistan, northern Iraq, and he has also performed humanitarian missions in West Africa. He is conversant in Arabic and Kurdish, and has a pretty good handle on IT matters as well, a man of many parts, and always a welcome guest here. Colonel, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
I was moved to try to grab you quickly and have been very happy to find we could to talk about a brand new paper that has just been circulated by you through the Hudson Institute South Asia Program. And it talks about a piece of what has been a festering sore for a long time, namely Pakistan, with a particular angle that, frankly, I have not focused on, and I suspect others in our audience have not either, and that is the Iran-Pakistan border and the fact that it is, as you put it, a geopolitical powder keg. Give us a little bit of a sense of what's at work there, and then we'll talk through what some of the geopolitical implications are.
Yes, that's right, Frank. I think the take-home message for Americans is that while we're trying to create stability in Afghanistan, Afghanistan is actually in a sea of regional instability. And the example I give in this particular article is the Iran-Pakistan border, which has multiple elements of instability occurring simultaneously. For example, you have national rivalries, not just between Iran and Pakistan on their joint border, but the Chinese are involved, the Saudis are involved, the Indians are involved. You also have a religious conflicts, the Sunni-Shia divide between Iran being Shia and Pakistan being Sunni. You have an active ethnic separatist movement, insurgents in Baluchistan. And you have ongoing espionage on both sides of the border. You have drug smuggling and human trafficking, and many of these components are acting together. So it's an extremely volatile area that eventually, at least parts of it, spill over into Afghanistan.
And, of course, Pakistan has been, a perennial problem with respect to Afghanistan. But do you anticipate, for all the reasons that you've mentioned, that they may come to blows, the Iranians versus the Pakistanis? And talk a little bit about the lengths that the Chinese have gone to try to prevent such a thing from happening.
Well, that's exactly right, Frank. It's not just me. It's the Chinese have been actively involved. And I've been following this for almost a year now, and a lot of it has not been published in the media. But, of course, China has a very large investment in Pakistan, known as the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. And so they have billions of dollars invested in developing projects in Pakistan, including a very important seaport in Gwadar. So Gwadar is actually very close to the Iranian border. So they have actually brokered a number of meetings between security meetings between the Iranians and the Pakistanis to try to get control over the area. Because, as I mentioned, you have all these different elements of instability acting more or less simultaneously.
Yeah. In the previous segment, we spoke with David Goldman about China's ambitions, which are certainly evident in this part of the world, as they are more broadly in the so-called New Silk Road Initiative. And David made the point that one of the things that is always at work in these Chinese strategic initiatives is military capabilities as well. As I recall, they're very busily building up not just commercial seaport activity in Pakistan, but also a military naval base there as well. Talk about that and how that factors into not just this issue of the Iranian-Pakistani time bomb, perhaps, but also more generally the projection of power by the Chinese in that part of the world, including the Persian Gulf, perhaps.
Well, that's right, Frank. That's why this border area is so important to the Chinese, because it's not just the commercial enterprise in the seaport of Gwadar, but they have planned a military base, primarily a naval base, on the Jiwani Peninsula. Now, it just so happens that the Jiwani Peninsula sits between Gwadar and the Iranian border, so it's even closer. It's actually well within the area of the border, this planned Chinese naval base. And that naval base is important for China not only to protect its investment in Gwadar, but it's at the mouth of the Persian Gulf, so strategically located such that it will influence the sea lanes in the Arabian Sea, particularly the oil export sea lanes, which they're very dependent on. But it also boxes in a lot of the U.S. bases inside the Persian Gulf and really outflanks the U.S. naval base in Diego Garcia. So it's a very important element, and that's why the Chinese have been so actively involved in the border area, and we're trying to work with the Iranians and Pakistanis to solve some of these instability problems.
So you have been thinking about these issues and writing on them most recently, as I said, at the Hudson Institute, Dr. Sullen, but talk about what American policy should be. The Chinese have been cultivating relations with both the Iranians and the Pakistanis. They are clearly building out infrastructure that has military as well as civilian implications. As you say, they may well be positioning themselves to box in our fleet in the Persian Gulf, or our ability to exercise control over those sea lanes of communications that flow from the Persian Gulf eastward, Diego Garcia and so on. What would you, if you were talking to President Trump, be recommending he do at this moment in time, given all of this?
Well, I think the main point is that we're missing, you know, the forest for the trees. We've been concentrating on nation building and counterinsurgency in Afghanistan. And there are a number of elements, in particular Pakistan, that works against that. Of course, Pakistan supports the Taliban and the Haqqani network, and we have no way of countering that, because they have safe havens inside Pakistan. And also Pakistan controls the supply of our troops to Afghanistan, because Afghanistan is landlocked. So we're, militarily speaking, we're in a very difficult position, even executing our limited mission there. But overall, we're missing the bigger picture, which is China and what China is doing with Pakistan and its overall ambitions, not only in South Asia, but globally, where it's creating this, as you brought up earlier, the Belt and Road Initiative, which is not only economic, but it, associated with that economic effort is a string of military bases, often referred to as a string of pearls.
Fascinating, and so much more to talk with you about than we have time to do properly, Dr. and Colonel Sullen. I do want to just say, as I was saying to David Goldman a moment ago, we're missing this big picture on China, and it's so vital that it be applied here, because we're not going to make the right tactical decisions, including potentially on opportunities to supplant China with many of these governments that they're cultivating or trying to dominate, at least. But we have to be focused on doing that. And we look forward to visiting with you in the near future about other steps that we might take to protect our interests in this complicated and very dynamic region. Thank you for your time today and for this important new paper at the Hudson Institute. I commend it to all of our listeners. Come back to us again very soon.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.